A Story Publishing presents The Calculated Advantage. Hello, and welcome to this study guide narration. The goal here is to walk through each major formula and concept on the printable study sheet, offering audio-friendly explanations so that you can understand and apply the ideas in a more intuitive way. We will also hint at some common errors or confusions that might come up, especially those you experienced in your earlier practice. Feel free to pause the recording at any of the suggested moments to try out calculations yourself or jot down notes. Let's start with mergers and acquisitions, focusing on synergy and the probability of deal closure. Whenever a deal is announced, a standard approach for checking synergy is to add up the acquirer's change in market value and the target's change in market value. If the sum is negative, we say the market perceives negative synergy, meaning the overall value is actually lower than the standalone values of the two companies. Suppose the acquirer's market value decreases by $1.4 billion, while the target's market value rises by $0.9 billion. Adding those amounts yields negative $0.5 billion, which indicates that the market believes more value is being lost than created. In earlier attempts, you recognize the acquirer's price drop as a signal of overpayment, but it's also important to systematically compute synergy in dollars to confirm the direction of value change. Now pause the recording if you want to rewrite or practice that synergy formula. The other piece related to M&A is the probability that a deal will go through. One quick rule of thumb is to look at the target's post-announcement share price compared with both the no-deal price and the offered takeover price. If the offer premium is, for example, 20% above the old price, but the actual jump in the share is only 18%, that suggests a 90% chance that the deal will close. When you worked on this problem previously, you sometimes used the acquirer's market cap change to assess the probability of closure, which is less direct. The professor's solution focuses specifically on the target's price for this calculation, because the main question is, will the target ultimately receive that full offer price if the deal succeeds? Now let's discuss the CAPM, or Capital Asset Pricing Model, which helps us estimate the cost of equity. The typical formula says that the cost of equity equals the risk-free rate plus the equity beta multiplied by the market risk premium. For instance, if the risk-free rate is 2.15%, the market premium is 5%, and the equity beta is 0.48, then the cost of equity becomes 2.15 plus 0.48 times 5%, or about 4.55% total. Feel free to pause the recording now and try plugging in different betas or risk premiums to see how it changes the result. One common pitfall is to skip this final numeric step, which can lead to confusion about exactly how we get the final percentage. We can tie CAPM to the weighted average cost of capital, or WACC, by introducing the fraction of equity and debt in the firm's capital structure, multiplied by their respective costs. Concretely, we say WACC equals open parenthesis E over V close parenthesis times the cost of equity, plus open parenthesis D over V close parenthesis times the cost of debt times open parenthesis 1 minus the tax rate close parenthesis. For a large, stable company like Walmart, you might see around 88% equity and 12% net debt. If the cost of equity is 4.55% and the after-tax cost of debt is something closer to 1.6 or 1.7, the final WACC might end up around 4.2 or 4.3%. It is easy to do the partial multiplication, but forget to factor in the tax rate or forget to finalize the last decimal place. Whenever you tackle these numeric examples, try writing out the entire line of calculation carefully to confirm your final result is consistent with the professor's approach. Now pause the recording if you want to practice the WACC formula with your own set of numbers. As we move on, let's recall that we can talk about unlevered or asset beta by weighting the equity beta and the debt beta in proportion to their share of total value. If the debt beta is zero, this becomes simpler. the asset beta is just the equity beta multiplied by equity share. This distinction can matter when we alter the capital structure from, say, 12% debt to 25% debt. You then re-lever the equity beta to reflect the new fraction. For example, if the asset beta stays the same, but you increase the proportion of debt, the equity holders take on more financial risk, so the equity beta will go up. Previously, you had the right general concept of re-levering, but you sometimes left it incomplete numerically. Make sure to see it all the way through. Find the new equity beta, then recalculate the cost of equity, and finally update the WACC in full. Next, let's touch on the idea of negative free cash flow versus positive EBIT, which is especially relevant for high-growth companies. If a firm is investing heavily in capital expenditures and working capital, it can easily have negative free cash flow even while it reports a positive operating profit. The key point is that negative FCF doesn't necessarily mean the business is struggling. It can mean it is pursuing aggressive expansion. In your earlier solutions, you recognized the concept of large investments, but didn't always clearly articulate that it's normal to have negative FCF if the firm is trying to build capacity or secure more raw materials. Now pause the recording if you want to reflect on how those investments would factor into a basic free cash flow equation, such as EBIT times 1 minus the tax rate minus capital expenditures minus changes in working capital. Shifting gears, a rights offering is another topic where it's easy to confuse the notion of dilution with actual loss in value. In a classic rights offering, if you exercise your rights or sell them, you remain whole because you either buy new shares at a discount or get compensated for letting someone else buy them. The X rights price formula is basically the weighted average of the old market value and the new capital raised. One correct approach is to multiply the old share count by the old price plus the new share count times the subscription price, then divide by the total number of shares. You mostly grasp the rationale for why the share price falls on the X rights date, but the total value remains intact. However, the professor's math on the approximate day-to-day share price shifts might have been more explicit than yours, showing that the drop from, for example, $18 to $16 doesn't imply real dilution if the newly raised cash is counted. Finally, let's revisit the main TF conceptual checks. Increasing leverage does not raise the underlying business risk, which is purely about how volatile the firm's operations are, but it does raise financial risk to both equity and debt holders. Also, equity issuance can be expensive for reasons beyond banker fees, such as underpricing and signals to the market. And remember that for performance metrics, the professor typically likes to see after-tax EBIT or NOPAT compared to book capital rather than dividing by market values. If you find yourself mixing up these details, it may help to keep a short list of business risk versus financial risk, and enterprise versus equity metrics handy, so you can quickly confirm that you're applying the right measure for the right purpose. Now pause the recording if you'd like to rewrite a few TF statements that might have previously tripped you up. That's a wrap for our narration of the study sheet and how it applies to your earlier exam attempts. Think of these formulas as building blocks. Synergy sums for M&A, CAPM for cost of equity, WACC for total capital costs, and the logic of rights issues and free cash flow and expansions. Take time to do small numeric examples, especially if you know you tend to miss a final step or decimal place. With more repetition, these calculations become second nature, so you can do them quickly on scratch paper or in your head. Good luck with your continued studying. And remember to pause and review whenever you feel you need a refresher on the details. Thank you for choosing Astori Publishing.